The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From California's capital to you, it's The Nate Darling Show, featuring Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels. And now, get ready for some nonsense. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday episode of The Nate Darling Show. Diana already exited. She had some family business to take care of, so she will not be here. If you want more of her, the Well Hong podcast Monday drops for you, so go ahead and check that out. I want to thank everybody who's been shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It does help support the show. It does not cost you anything extra, and we do appreciate it when you do that. So, I meant to talk about it. Wednesday, it's past now.
What did we miss?
Well, you haven't missed it yet because we record on Monday. Prime Day, which is supposed to be more deals than Black Friday.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
only
yeah.
for Amazon Prime members.
Woo, woo! No, I put that on my calendar, dude. My phone's going to remind me.
Really?
Yes.
What day is that?
Well, it was 2 days ago.
It's a Wednesday, the 15th of July.
Right, so 2 days ago.
Yes.
If you're listening to the show.
Friday,
sorry we didn't tell you about that before, but I'm sure everybody else has told you about that. So if you missed it, it's your own fault. Sorry.
It's supposed to be bigger than Black Friday, but it's for Prime members only.
Dude, I'm a Prime member.
I'm a Prime member.
Me too.
Yeah, three Prime members right in here.
Prime and proud.
That's why Diana had to go. You can't hang with the Prime members. Prime time players.
What's up?
The primetime players, tag team in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Oh.
Titus O'Neil, Darren Young. Darren Young, first openly gay professional wrestler.
Yeah.
So, shout out to the primetime players. Coming up on the show today, Donald Trump visits Vegas, and he talks with some of the locals. I'm going to yell at Moby.
Is there going to be a beat dropped going on?
There will be a beating and there will be some dropping.
Okay.
And so we got that. And we're going to go back in time to a little Sierra history lesson about a badass lady stagecoach driver.
Yeah, that was...
You read about that?
I read what you said. That was fascinating.
Pretty cool stuff. First, let's get right down to it. Any big weekend plans for the group? Kareem, you got any shows this weekend?
Nothing this weekend. I'm going on a retreat for 10 days.
That's right. You're not here next week.
So I'll be here Monday, but...
But then you're leaving the week after. Okay, so you're here next week, but not the week after.
Yeah, so like I'm leaving like next Wednesday.
Okay.
And I'll be down in Madeira for 10 days in silence.
Nice.
Wow. 10 days of silence?
Get it, yes. Kareem.
I could not do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can either, but we're going to find out.
That'll be a different experience.
You will not be the first co-host of this show to have done a silent retreat, but you will be the most recent.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, best of luck.
I
want to
do that. That sounds
terrible.
It's like
to me.
Powerful challenge to one's self-control.
Yeah, I love. Look, here's a little secret about me. For anybody who doesn't know, I love the sound of my own voice. I really.
Newsflash.
I know it's. For anyone who didn't know, I enjoy the sound of my own voice. I've got knowledge to drop, and I will drop it liberally throughout the land.
Well, hopefully, after I come back, my knowledge will be dropped more concise and
focused.
That's
a beautiful thing.
Here's the beauty of that. If nothing else, are you allowed to write?
No.
Oh. See, but you can mentally have the tightest 20-minute set just in your head. And it will be, because it's in your head, when you go to do it, you're not going to have to like have notes and write about it because it's all going to be right there.
Yeah.
Because all you're going to be able to do is just go through it again.
Well,
and again.
That's how I write anyway.
Okay. Right.
So like I would... Like when I was taking courses in college, I would write a paper in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
During the week, and then the night before, then I would just
compose it,
bang it out.
Yeah, I'm very similar with that too. I will tend to my writing process is a lot of wandering around, talking to people, looking like I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But and you're in the back burner. Your brain's cooking.
It's always something, and a lot of times somebody will say something and it will trigger an idea in my head.
Right.
And that's sort of how it carries through. I suck at sitting down with a blank computer screen and writing, and I think a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. It's tough to do that, to be, whether it's creative writing or just, unless you're doing like really super technical, you do this and then you do this and then you do this. It, just staring at a blank screen. That's why a lot of times, I know I told you this, Sam, when we worked
right.
together.
Yeah,
a lot of times I would grab a pad of paper and go sit outside.
Yeah, I'd rather write on the pad than not
yeah.
doing a computer.
Because there was
that
just
physical motion going on.
Yeah, and just outside where there's some sunshine and some fresh air and no fluorescent lighting.
Totally.
Because fluorescent lighting is the devil.
This might be a prime member thing, dude, because I totally relate with both of you guys.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things.
It's like if I'm writing on the computer, it has to be like a paper because I know how much space I have to fill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. You're like, you need 480 words or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be doing stuff to get ready for the retreat. I got to buy some loose fitting clothing. Not that
those
I have
yoga
really
pants,
tight clothes. But can't wear yoga pants.
Hammer pants.
Like you have to have. There's like a modesty restriction. So
right.
Like you can't. I thought I would be okay, like taking shorts, but you can't wear shorts.
Oh, that's terrible.
You got to get some of those MC Hammer pants.
Yes.
Yeah. The pajama pants.
Yeah.
The one with the crotch that goes down to your knees.
Low hanging crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A sparkly purple.
So. So got to do that. And to bring some bedding and some other stuff, but you don't have to bring, like, you can't bring, like, I can take my phone, but once I get there, then they're going to lock
airplane
it up.
Airplane mode, get it out of here. Yeah.
They're going to put it in, they're going to lock it up for the 10 days.
That's fantastic. That's the best part.
sounds terrible to me.
Imagine remembering a world where there was no cell phone.
Well, the retreat comes from, there's a documentary on Netflix called The Dharma Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That I watched, and it was about Vipassana, which is a meditation retreat that they did in a prison. They do it in a prison in India, but they tried it here in a prison in Alabama. And the prisoners that went through it, one prisoner ended up there was a maximum security prison. One prisoner ended up getting out of prison from it. Another guy went from the maximum security to a medium security, almost to, I think, a medium or minimum security prison.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy who was the leader of a prison gang quit the gang.
A little soul searching goes a long way.
So what is your goal?
And the prisoners noticed the change in the prisoners noticed the change in this group of people.
Uh-huh.
To the point where they were like, okay, fuck what we were doing over here.
Yeah.
What did y'all do?
Yeah.
And they quit doing the stuff that
they wanted what these dudes
they
got.
Wanted what these dudes had.
Right on.
So
the question is, what do you hope to get out of this?
What I hope to get out of this is some clarity.
That's a good thing.
It is, but what about what specifically? Are you looking for just like how, where am I going with the rest of my life, career stuff, or just everything?
Just everything.
Yeah. So you just want to clear away the clutter and just refocus.
It's like a colon cleanse for your soul.
You want to,
that's it, pretty much it. Yeah.
Basically, you want to reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get years of shit blocked up inside that colon.
You got 10 days that I can just, and it's a vegan diet, so I'll probably be doing that too.
Jesus, you make it sound better and better.
So this week I've been eating. I'm trying to eat cleaner for the week and drink a lot of water.
Yeah, you got to stay hydrated.
So you're not. So here's the thing. A lot of people would just go, look, I have to be vegan for 10 days, so I'm just going to pack myself so full of meat that I'm not going to want any for 10 days.
Yeah. No. I did do some, what do you call it, charcuterie?
What'd you just call me, young man?
You know what is that? When the
watch your mouth.
The meat place over by Lowbrow. Cold. So there's a place next to Lowbrow that does cheese and salami, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were talking about the gay bar.
Yeah, no, you're talking, not the gay bar.
Okay, because there's a lot of gay bars there.
Yeah,
Faces.
So right next, so connected to Lowbrow is this place.
Okay.
So you can do different kinds of salami and different kinds of cheeses.
Okay.
And it's a whiskey bar, too.
Yeah, there's a few of those around town. There's a
that
few of those
like
in
a,
Midtown.
My kind of joint.
Yeah, so I had some of that last week, but no, I'm trying to make sure that next week
right.
it isn't a shock to the system. So
yeah,
that's smart.
I'm trying
yeah.
to
probably because it's going to be real. First of all, if you don't go that way and you just start eating vegan, you're going to have the worst gas. Your anus will break the vow of silence.
Yeah. And everybody was like, you're like, oh, so you're going to eat a whole bunch of meat? Like, no, I'm actually going to try to dial it down and get my system more used to it.
That's smart. Yeah. Because if you just start all of a sudden like, I'm going vegan, yeah, your body will go, fuck you. Your body has a funny way of doing that. Yeah. Sam, any plans for you?
I do. I'm returning to the motherland. I went last weekend on a whim. This time it's planned.
Okay. Will you be nude again?
You know, that's a possibility, but it's not the main goal. Friday night is when I'm planning on taking my Bonnie lass up there.
Tonight, yep.
And we're going to be going to Squaw Valley.
Okay.
Because there is... we're not going for the yoga festival, but it's this giant like yoga retreat festival called Wanderlust, but they also have bands that play in the evenings. And
a lot of chicks in yoga pants.
That's what's up.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
One of my favorite musicians, artists, songwriters, I love his vibe. I like what he's all about. His name is Trevor Hall, and I'm taking her to see him. I've seen him play twice, once in South Lake Tahoe, once in San Francisco. Love the dude, and now my girlfriend's gonna enjoy that experience with me, and then we're gonna spend the night in Truckee and just enjoy the day up there.
Nice,
chilling on the docks of the lake, whatnot.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Sounds like
I'm looking forward to you sharing this history that took place in Truckee.
Yeah,
coming up
to the end of the show.
Yeah,
there's a lot of history coming through there, not just people eating other people.
Right.
Though that did happen.
The world famous Donner Party thing.
Yes. So we get that going on. What do I have this weekend? God damn it. What is
this? You're not getting naked?
No. You know what? Probably going to...
You're moving now.
Well, yeah. I'm announced last week, moving in with Leslie. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to do a little bit this week. Mm-hmm. So there aren't a lot of furniture items that have to go with me, but there are a few of them. So a little bit here, a little bit there. So we're going to start moving in stuff. We're a week away from going to Ironstone to see REO Speedwagon in Boston.
What?
Yeah. Going to roll with the changes. Going to roll with the changes. God, I know there's something coming up that I just completely forgot what it is. I mean, the state fair is going on. We're probably going to do that at some point.
Yeah.
Because next week, Leslie is gone all week until she comes back in time for the concert.
Strip club, strippers at Nate House.
Yeah. There are no room for strippers here. Don't want that. I want my deposit back. That's what I want, my deposit back. So, yeah, I'll probably go to the state fair because the only time...
This water bottle's hilarious. Do that in the microphone one time. You gotta hear it. Kareem's microphone, his water bottle. Oh, now it's gonna be all silent on us.
Right,
you taking the silent vow already.
It's done.
Sound like a squeaky cartwheel.
Yeah.
Going through the shopping store. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the state fair. Got to get to the state fair at some point. And if only because I bought the admission for two and parking pass at Costco. So I did not spend that money to not use that. But we that's going on. We got a lot of stuff happening in the next little bit with, you know, just a lot of little things here and there that have to get done. You know, anytime when you're moving, there's always stuff
right.
to deal with.
Yeah.
So we got that. But the other day, now, you know, Sam, I go to Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I go to Chipotle about once a week.
Dude, there were weeks where it was like a 3-day run.
Yeah. Yeah. And I stopped that.
Yeah.
But so I walked into Chipotle last week, and it was the one over on Folsom Boulevard here in mm-hmm. Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge line. It was a huge line. And I'm waiting in line, and there's like two people in front of me. And all of a sudden, I hear someone go, "Plain Brown." Somebody in the back of the line.
What?
Somebody says Plain Brown. Because you know I get plain rice. Brown rice.
Yeah. They know you.
Because, you know, I don't need this much cilantro in my life.
Yeah.
Chipotle.
Give it to Sam.
So it's in everything there. You cannot escape it. So I'm like two people from the front, and somebody walks out with a thing of plain brown rice and puts it in front of the person running the tortilla heater. And
they got your number, Nate.
And the girl running the tortilla heater goes, "What's this for?" And the guy who dropped it said, "Wait for it." And I'm like, it's like a fucking movie.
Yeah, it is, dude.
Wait for it. So the person in front of me cleared, and I go, "Give me a burrito with plain brown rice." And she goes, "Oh."
Ooh,
Yeah, I mean, it's out of a movie, right?
Yeah.
Out of a movie, right?
You're the one we've waited for.
Have you ever in your life had somebody do something, and then somebody goes, "What's this for?" And they go, Wait for it.
So ominous.
Part of me wanted to just not get it that way.
Yeah. I'd like some of that good old lime cilantro rice, plain white, please.
But I got out, and the funny thing is one of the people who works there, she said, "Anytime I see you in line, I know we make sure we have it."
That's really good customer service.
That's really good customer service. Here's the thing.
Which one is it?
It's the one on Folsom Boulevard.
Okay.
The thing about Chipotle is they're all laid out a little bit differently. And there are some where if you want plain brown rice, all they have to do is turn around and the thing is right there.
Right.
And they put it out.
Thankful of it.
The one on Folsom Boulevard and a lot of the others, it's a run into the back room.
Right.
And I think through a maze, and they have to fight a Kraken or something, because it takes quite a while.
Yeah,
to come back out with it. So that's why they do it, especially when there's a line like that, so it gets through. But that was just really cool. I'm sitting there, and they drop it, and I know what it's for. And she's like, "What's this for?"
Plain brown rice, man.
Wait for it. This is like out of one of those weird movies where they're like, "It's quiet, too quiet. Do you hear that? Hear what? Wait for it. Then it was me with my order of plain brown rice.
They probably call you PBR now. Every time you walk in, here comes PBR, yo.
Whoa.
Plain brown rice.
I'll go with plain brown.
Okay, I'll go with plain brown.
That's my slave. Pops
Blue Ribbon.
It's my slave name, plain brown.
Hey, plain brown.
That's what I had for dinner last night.
So that happened. That was kind of a cool little... That was kind of a cool little thing. So now when I'm choosing my Chipotle, mm-hmm. that's where I will go. Because I have two about equidistant from work.
Right.
And on Mondays, it's just for lunch, it's just easier because that burrito fills me for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
So when I come home, I don't have time to eat. I come home, set up the studio, and we start recording.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to eat until like 10 o'clock at night. And I don't want a big meal at 10 o'clock.
Mm-mm.
So I need a lunch that's going to carry me through.
Yep, and Chipotle does it.
And Chipotle will carry you days. It will carry you through for days. Days, I tell you. Wait for it. So Amy Schumer's been in the news a lot lately. She got the new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
She's already gone through an online controversy. She's got some thoughts about the current outrage culture when it comes to politically incorrect jokes. A columnist recently said Schumer has a, quote, blind spot about race, which led to a Washington Post op-ed tying her to both Donald Trump and Dylann Roof, the guy who shot up the church.
How did they tie her up?
This is ridiculous.
They were dumbasses.
It's just stupid. And while Schumer recently apologized if people were hurt by her jokes, she shouldn't have done that, but she did because she's got a movie and a TV show.
Right.
She tells the Daily Beast in a new interview that it, quote, fucking sucks, end quote, how much comedians have to watch their backs these days. She says, part of me wants to resist it and say, fuck you, I can say whatever I want. But it's actually careless at this point, and it sucks. She's right.
Well said, yeah.
She lamented the ever-present gotcha society and even revealed a giant, irrelevant nightmare she had. said, quote, it got kind of graphic and sexual with a girl who wanted a picture with me. It had a lot of twists and turns, but I think it all stemmed from that. It was all about all the aspects of fame and everything being monitored, and I woke up really bummed out.
Wow, dude. That's deep.
It sucks being bummed out in a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should not be bummed out in your subconscious, so.
Because that'll linger, man.
Yeah. And it's just all these people like, you can't say that. Settle down, people.
You can't say that.
And to tie her to someone who murdered a church full of people because she told a joke that you didn't like? Fuck you, you fucking blogger. Fuck you.
Yeah. Hiding behind your damn keyboard. Yeah. Talking shit.
Only issue Amy I have with the jokes that she tell on races, they could be better.
Well, yeah,
there's room for improvement.
That's fair. The big one that caught a lot of flack and that got her tied to Donald Trump was Donald Trump said all Mexicans are racist. And she has an old joke from about 3 or 4 years ago that says, I used to date Hispanic guys, but now I've gone consensual.
Yeah, I heard that. That's pretty funny.
It is a funny joke. And look, it's not accusing anybody of rape. It's just a joke.
Yes.
It's just a joke. But I got her tied to this guy, Donald Trump, who went to Las Vegas recently and got to meet the public.
Actually from Mexico. I'm incredibly insulted by the remarks.
I was waiting for this.
Of course you were.
Good.
But, hey, I'm a friend of Freedom Fest. Good. I believe in freedom. I believe in the rule of law.
Good.
I believe in property rights. My heart goes out to Mr. Jamil.
Good.
There are illegal immigrants that are horrible and terrible. There are also legal immigrants that are horrible and terrible.
It's true.
So it's a question about rule of law. I am going to ask a question.
Ask a question, please.
My question is,
did the government of Mexico ask you to come up here and make this?
Of course.
Okay. Go ahead. Ask your question. Ask your question.
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on. You got a lot of people waiting.
Would you build walls around all the states in the United States to prevent all of those rapists and killers that come from elsewhere in the United States in order to avoid the problem?
No, I'd build a wall. I would build a wall between our country and Mexico because people come from all over the world.
Senor Trump,
let me just tell you, sir, do you want to hear the answer? And all of the people, because I encourage legal citizenship. I encourage it, and I would encourage it, and I would encourage Hispanics, and I would encourage...
He encourages it because he keeps marrying it.
...encourage people from all over. But what I don't encourage is people coming into our country illegally, and I don't encourage where a government forces some people in that the government doesn't want, and these people wreak havoc on our population. Thank you very much for your question. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Should read the Statue of Liberty.
Next.
You should read the Statue of Liberty. Good comeback, sir. Read the Statue of Liberty. I'm sure he's out there. I'm sure he took the boat out to read the Statue of Liberty.
He's the person who's coming forward to. He's setting the stage for the next person who they actually nominate, because he's going to say all of the most outlandish shit that you
can
think of.
Make the next person look good.
Yeah. So that when that next person says the shit that's still horrible, but is less horrible, then it won't look so bad. That's what he's doing. That's the whole setup for that.
I don't think he's a team player like that, but, you know, I could be wrong. He does not strike me as a team player.
He may not be, but that's how that's going to be spun.
Well, look,
I mean, that's how it's going to work.
Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, has announced. I think we're up to 20 people running for the Republican nomination. It's a shit show. It really is a shit show. But they're all running. We're over a year from the election. There's going to be a lot of shit going down. I want to see the first debate. How many of them will be left by the first debate? And how many more are going to declare? How many more Republicans can we have?
Yeah.
How many more? How many Carly Fiorinas will come crawling out of the woodwork to run?
Like, didn't you wreck enough shit when you were at Hewlett-Packard?
Exactly. And by the way, Bobby Jindal, just stay home. Stay home. You got to be governor of Louisiana. Enjoy that.
I still don't know how that happened.
I don't know either. But here's a funny thing about the South. There's a lot of talk about how the South is racist, and I'm sure it is in certain ways. But there are two states in the South that have governors who are Indian American. There's Louisiana with Bobby Jindal and Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina.
Nikki Haley says she's white.
She can say whatever she likes.
She says enough. She says enough stuff for them to agree with that she is.
but here's the thing: they got elected in these states, so the stereotype that everybody there is terrible is or racist is just it's not true. There may be a higher percentage of them, but
shit, there's racism everywhere.
Of course,
but right. The people up north try to pretend like they're not.
Yeah, well, in the South, they're just folksy about it.
No, in the South, they're honest about it.
Folksy?
Folksy.
They're honest about it in the South, in the North, and then out here, they try to pretend like they aren't.
Well,
or even like those Southerners. Like, if you've been to, you've been to upstate New York, you know there ain't no there's racists up in upstate New York. There are anywhere in the South.
There are racists everywhere. And I think
upstate New York is as racist as any part of the southern part of the United States.
So is Long Island.
Yes.
But here's the other thing about it. I think that there are a lot of people who don't think they're racist at all that are the worst type of racists. Who are the ones that think that these poor, oppressed minorities are not going to get by without my help?
Yeah.
And I think that is every bit as bad as some of the things that people who are what I'm going to call traditional racists.
Yeah.
There's the traditional racist and the new wave racist. And it's like, you know what? And call me crazy. I'm going to get political for a second. I think everybody should just have equal opportunity to succeed and be the best person they can be. And I don't know what goes into all of that, but I do know this, that if you start saying that, oh, the only way for this to happen is for this to happen, you're incredibly condescending to people because there's plenty of people who do just fine without that. And just don't put roadblocks in people's way.
Well, at this point, is not of putting roadblocks, is taking roadblocks out of people's
right.
way.
Right. Yeah, get rid of the ones that were there. But the
that are
but
there.
You know what I'm talking about when I say the new wave racists, right?
Yeah.
Who are just like you yourself said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't know if I can take any more of these well intentioned white people.
Right.
So it's the same idea. But
on the other side of that, I'm as tired of white people who try to pretend like they're not racist or they don't know anybody who's racist. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Like, you know some racist people and stop trying to act like you don't so that we can actually talk about the shit and get past it.
Yeah. And I think everybody has at least a little bit of that in them.
Yeah.
So let's try and treat people nicely.
Yeah.
And get past it.
Like I said, but we still got to remove those roadblocks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree.
Root out those roadblocks.
Right.
All right. Well, in Oregon, they're rooting out the roadblocks. The roadblocks of flying from place to place in Oregon with your weed, which is now legal.
Yay.
Now pot on planes. Recreational marijuana has been legal for exactly 1 week in Oregon, and now PDX is changing its policy about what you can bring on board. Fox 12's Nora Hart is here now with the details.
Yes, Wayne, the Port of Portland says it's now okay to bring pot on planes, but there's one catch. You can only travel with marijuana if you stay in Oregon. Travelers lining up at the security gates will notice this new sign. It's about the airport's stance on recreational marijuana. And if you get caught with it at security, be prepared to be delayed. You might notice these new signs around Portland International Airport. It warns travelers that recreational pot is not allowed on flights traveling outside the state. Traveling across cross state lines is still a federal crime, even flights to Washington. But if your destination keeps you in Oregon, you can travel with 1 ounce of pot. Airport officials say if a TSA agent finds pot on you, they will notify Port Police. Port Police will then check to see if you're over the legal limit, check your age, and look at your boarding pass to make sure you aren't flying out of the state. And if everything checks out, they'll let you go on to make your flight. Passengers we talked to don't seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah, well, I don't care if they got it in their pocket. You know, I could care less. If, you know, as long as they don't, they can't smoke in the airport. They can't smoke in the airplane. So, depends on wherever they're going. If it's legal, that's fine with me.
If marijuana is legal, I mean, you should be able to take legal things on a plane that aren't a danger to other people. Well, I'm not anti-marijuana, but I am pro-hairspray. I would really have liked to have had some hairspray or shampoo. Yeah. What's shampoo going to do to somebody? Why can't I take my shampoo on a plane? I just think it's a little lopsided. That's silly. It's actually silly.
Why can't I take my shampoo on a plane?
Lord knows that woman needs it. She used so much damn hairspray.
Well, yeah.
Wash that nappy hair, girl.
She's stinking it up.
The
lower third had her name, and then below that, moved from Colorado. That's all it said. Moved from Colorado, to which I say, welcome aboard.
I can't smoke marijuana. Yeah, I can't smoke in here, so I don't know what's going on. It's a fine.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up, Cool or Tool. Amy Schumer, Kareem.
She's cool, but if she's going to start selling out, then she's going to turn into a tool.
Sam?
I like Amy Schumer. I'm going to give her the cool stamp.
I'm going to give her a provisional cool. There's always the chance she will lose that.
Absolutely.
But for now, cool. Up next in Cooler Tool, hecklers. Hecklers, Sam?
Tool. In every sense, every way.
Kareem?
Tool.
Yeah, I know you were trying to trip up Donald Trump with your clever retort of read the Statue of Liberty, sir. But maybe Vegas is not the place to have a battle of wits with Donald Trump.
You know, this guy sat night after night dreaming of that moment, and
read
he feels like he's a king now. I'm like, bro,
read the Statue of Liberty, sir!
Oh, God.
Cheech, go away!
Sorry.
And finally, in Cooler Tool, pot on planes. Pot on planes, Kareem.
Cool.
Sam?
Well, if he's not smoking it, then he could have it in his pocket. It's cool.
I'm sure Shaggy approves. Yes, and Lord knows, wherever else you're going in Oregon, you will not be able to find any pot. So that's Cooler Tool. Goddamn cat just ran by me.
Jetting, man.
Yeah, he does the run by. I just don't want him to step on the keyboard.
He's got a look in his eye.
Yeah, I don't want him to step on the keyboard and stop
Kareem
the recording.
Is coming for you now.
Nah, he's just going through. He's fine. The cats will chase after each other back and forth. It's what cats do.
That's what they do.
So that's going to be Cooler Tool for now. Yeah, let me fade that out. Did I mention Amazon yet? Yeah, I think I might have.
Yeah, we got a little mention
started
in there.
Started with Amazon. Mentioned on the Well Hung podcast on Monday, I mentioned because Ted, who used to co-host the show, bought cat litter on Amazon. So he didn't have to go to the store to buy cat litter. His mailman brought cat litter to him.
Poor guy.
So if you hate your mailman or your UPS driver, go ahead and order cat litter on Amazon and make that and get a subscription. So every 2 weeks, that bastard has to carry cat litter to your front door. What's wrong, Sam? You look frightened.
I just heard like a pound at your door, but maybe it's because I'm wearing earbuds and I'm not sure where that noise is coming from.
Yeah, I think it's just it's probably just somebody getting mail out of there.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not too worried about it. But besides, if they come in, they're going to kill you first.
Yeah. and I will scream like a bitch.
I know.
They're going to kill all the white people.
And then I'll bleed on you.
Kill the white people. That was a song.
Bleed my own blood.
All right. Moving on. This is the part of the show where I get angry at Moby.
Oh,
so get ready.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
All right. So Moby is a vegan, which is fine. It's if you want to be a vegan, I'm cool with that. What I'm not cool is, and you know what? It's not really so much Moby as much as the people that are patting him on the back for how clever they think this is. It's a message to California from
Hi,
Moby.
I'm Moby, and I'm a vegan. That's my personal choice.
but I also believe it's possible for you meat lovers to enjoy your meat responsibly. Unfortunately, due to the California drought, responsible meat eating has become a challenge. Water resources in California are at an all-time low. Many factors are to blame, including, yes, beef production. Did you know that 1 pound of steak has a water footprint of over 1,800 gallons? Yes, that's a lot of water. But what if you could equalize that footprint? What if you could have your steak and eat it too? See, if you skip 37 showers, that will make up for 1/4 pounder. That's what the Skip Showers for Beef campaign is all about. 37 showers? That might sound ridiculous, but in the face of this historic drought, we all need to think outside the box. This website will help you do exactly that. Here you'll find tips on how to save water, stay clean, and enjoy your guilt-free, zero-water-impact beef. Skip Showers for Beef.
This is a joke.
I won't, because I don't eat meat. But you can.
This is a joke.
Go for it. Change happens one shower at a time.
What retarded amateur idiots.
I love that quote with this piano going on. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, so here. That was a joke, right?
Sure. Yeah, it was a project put together by the Yes Men in collaboration with Funny or Die's prank squad, the Merkin Brothers.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing. Moby wants all of the beef cattle in California to have their water taken away so that they can slowly die of thirst.
That's what it is.
Because that's really the only way that you're going to stop this water is to essentially have all of these animals, these defenseless animals, die of thirst.
Mm-hmm.
The vegans want to let animals die of thirst. That's all they care about.
Yeah. We're on to you, vegans.
We're on to you, Moby.
Moby says, decimate the cow population with thirst.
And by the way, there are plenty of vegans who don't ever shower, and they more than make up for it.
Exactly.
It all balances out.
So, yeah, Moby, fuck off. Yeah. And then there's this whole thing of the water footprint. I've got a water footprint for you. And it's like, how much... Steak, a 16-ounce steak, 1,800 gallons. That's 105 skipped showers. What if I take a short shower?
Right? Not everyone takes that half-hour shower.
What about that? What about that? Sam, well, beef hot dog, Sam, only 2 ounces. That's 225 gallons. That's 13 showers. You can do that. Beef taco? Mm-hmm. Beef taco?
Oh, how about this, Moby? How about let's talk about how much fucking water plants take, bitch? How about you stop every time you eat a damn carrot, you gotta give up fucking 30 showers.
So they give tips on how to skip showers. One, use baby powder. Two, try dry shampoo. Employ coconut oil. No. Scrub with salt and sugar.
Salty and sweet.
Yeah.
Is your sweat already?
Yeah. It's a joke, but it rings really close to what a lot of people are like.
Right.
Listen, I'm a vegan and I'm better than you. So here's what you can do.
You saw Scott Pilgrim versus the World, right?
I have not. Listen, I'm a vegan and that makes me better than you. So I can do what I want because I'm a vegan. Soybeans are my Jesus Christ because they make tofu.
And every other fucking thing in the... You can make anything out of soy now.
Sure.
It's scary.
It's awful.
It's scary.
You know why? Because there's no flavor to it. They just flavor it with... Here's what I don't get. You want to go vegan, and they have things... They call things like vegan cheese. Mm. It's not vegan cheese. There's no cheese to it.
No, it's made out of cashews.
It's processed bullshit.
Yeah.
Is what it is. It's processed bullshit.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah. On Scott Pilgrim versus the World, there's this one of the ex-boyfriends he has to defeat to the death has superpowers that are extreme. This guy can do incredible things.
Okay.
Like Dragon Ball Z style things. And they have a moment like, how are you able to do all this stuff? He's like, because I'm vegan. And they have this whole moment like, It's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. He's better than you because he's vegan. But then they have the vegan police show up because he had like a latte that had some milk or something in it. And he lost his vegan powers and became weak. It was awesome.
No, I'm not vegan anymore. Kareem, are you going to become a dick in 10 days because you were vegan at the retreat? Because that day 10 days, he's going to come back and go, listen, I've discovered a new way. I've found clarity through veganism.
No.
I mean, I love vegetables. I will eat vegetables for 10 days, but I will not give up eating meat for the rest of my life.
And here's the thing. If you want to be vegan, I don't care.
Here's the thing. I don't mind. I usually don't fuck with people about whatever they do.
Right. Personal choices.
I usually leave you alone. The time that I will start fucking with you is when you start trying to push that shit on me. Try to make it seem like you know what you're talking about and nobody else's ideas.
I'm better than you because I'm vegan.
Yeah. That's when I'll get gassed.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're vegan, that's cool. That's fine. Yeah. Leslie, in fact, has gone vegetarian.
Yes, my sister's a vegetarian.
For at least a brief period of time. Mm-hmm. We'll see how long it lasts, and that's fine. You want to go ahead and quote-unquote eat clean. That's cool. Yeah. I have no issue with that.
You eat Chipotle from one of the people that I... one of my friends who owns a health store said that Chipotle is probably one of the cleanest places that you can eat as far as carbs or your diet and whatnot.
Except for the giant amount of sodium and everything. Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah. Speaking of people who are better than you, yoga guy better than you? Well, get ready for some Schadenfreude from England, no less. Where a man exercising on a yoga ball had to be flown to hospital after falling and landing on his head when it burst.
Well, they say falling, like, what, he fell a foot and a half?
Well, it's a yoga ball. That could be 3 feet plus the length of his body, so it could be quite a bit. The plastic inflatable ball burst during a group exercise class on a beach last Saturday due to the location being miles away from a road. Police had to clear part of the beach to allow a Coast Guard rescue helicopter to land. He suffered a suspected spinal injury and was flown to Poole Hospital for treatment. So, not funny that he hurt himself, but it is funny that he fell off a yoga ball.
Yes, it is.
On a beach.
Yes. But falling off a yoga ball is funny as fuck anyway.
Anytime people fall is funny, pretty much. Yeah. I remember I was at Disneyland and I watched this old woman in front of me fall. And I instantly went to help her, but I couldn't help laughing in her face at the same time.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes. It was not intentional. It was a natural response. You watch an old lady fall.
Sam.
Oh, no, you didn't.
It's terrible.
It was the happiest place on earth.
One more.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Thank you, new voice lady. Kansas City, Missouri. The heartland
of not Kansas,
where a sword-wielding man was shot by police. Well, he's died now. It's sad, right? He was identified by authorities as Javon Hawkins. He's 21 of Kansas City. I'm not going to racially profile Javon Hawkins. He died at the hospital after a Kansas City police officer shot him in the park. Ow! On a Thursday afternoon, police say Hawkins was armed with a sword and threatened a police officer who shot him. The officer had responded about 4:45 p.m. to a report that Hawkins was swinging the sword at passersby and vehicles. A police officer confronted Hawkins and asked him to put the sword down. That's according to Captain Ty Grant. Hawkins did not, and then Grant said the officer felt threatened and shot the man in the torso. Neighbors living near the park said they heard 4 shots. Grant said he did not know if the man was intoxicated at the time or if he lived near the area where the shooting occurred. The officer who shot him was placed on administrative leave while it's being investigated. The officer was assigned to the Metro Patrol Division. Did not know how long the officer had been with the police department. So here's a tip for you ninjas out there. If you're going to be swinging your sword around and the cops show up, put it down. Just put it down.
I feel like we talked about
because you're
story.
Gonna get shot.
Do you remember we mentioned a story?
Hope the cops doesn't show up while I'm swinging my sword around.
Yeah, then you're fine.
Well,
this is a lady cop.
Yeah. Well, this poor that's bugger, it is not going to make it to 22. So it's a sad story. I'm guessing drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing drugs.
That's definitely.
Just
maybe a little PTSD mixed in there. I don't know.
It's unclear because we don't really know anything other than his name. And when you don't really know, it becomes a little bit difficult. So let's not get too much into it. But yeah,
what are your thoughts on?
Hold on. The moral of the story is, if you have a sword, put it. Have we learned nothing from Indiana Jones? Have we learned nothing from Indiana Jones?
I've learned
a lot,
but is there a specific lesson that you're pointing out here?
Do you remember the scene where the guy's got the sword and he's swinging it around?
Yeah.
And Indy watches him swing the sword around for a while, and then he pulls his gun out and shoots him?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to happen to you with you swinging your sword around.
Yeah.
Put it down. Gun beats sword. It's like rock, paper, scissors, where there's one thing that always wins. Gun beats rock, paper, and scissors.
Yeah.
And sword. Just saying. So, all right, let's do this now. A little bit of Southern Fried Rock. Makes you feel like you want to drive somewhere.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Yep. It's time for Florida Corner. Headline, drugs found with baby in stroller. West Palm Beach mom charged. Sad, right?
A West Palm Beach woman in court this morning. She's charged with trying to sell drugs while pushing her baby in a carriage. Police arrested Brianna Hoekster yesterday in Green Acres. They say they found the drugs in the stroller. She is not only charged with having those drugs, but child abuse. The Department of Children and Families has the baby and is helping in the investigation.
Terrible.
That's pretty trashy.
First comes love, then comes marriage. Then comes Brianna with a baby carriage full of drugs. Not clear if she's married or not.
Probably don't even have a baby. She's got a carriage full of drugs.
Right.
No, there's a baby.
It's not hers. She just found it.
It's a baby. The baby is used to cover the drugs.
Yeah.
You don't want the drugs out in the sun. Also in Florida, headline, 9 investigates uncovers proposed plan to make sex offenders pay a yearly fee.
But like that, requiring sex offenders to pay portion of the money to the sheriff's office to track and monitor them.
Well, certainly anytime we can have a user fee, it sounds like a really good idea. And it's not that I wouldn't be for it, because offsetting the cost to the taxpayer is a good thing. But the most important thing we can do is keep our children safe and keep people in the community safe. And I fear these folks can't afford that. So what are they going to do? They're going to quit registering. And they're going to start hiding. And that's not good for us. So I would rather them not pay, and I know where they are, and that they're appropriately registered so we can keep a check on them, than charge them a fee that they can't afford, and now they're running from the fee. They're not registering, and we don't have any idea where they are, and we have to chase them around.
Hey, there's a law enforcement officer who has a good point.
Exactly.
A guy from Florida speaks a lot of knowledge that the sex offender is going to be like, I can't afford to pay a fee to be monitored.
Forget this crap.
Fuck this noise. I'm
like,
out.
Shit, I think they can barely get a job. How the fuck are they going to
right.
When they going to get money to pay a fee?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think there's like a fucking village of them like in the woods in Florida.
You know,
I'm dead serious.
I know. I don't know exactly what it is, but yeah, because they can't live within 100 yards of a school,
yeah, which are
church
everywhere.
Or playground.
Right.
And you get into the South, there's a church every 10 feet.
Yeah.
It's legislated by God.
Yeah.
And the rapture. I don't know. Hold on, I have to finish answering a question here. I'm extremely dissatisfied. Hasn't met my needs at all. Moderately dissatisfied. Very difficult. Moderately difficult. It's a good thing they put this quiz on here so I could give them accurate information so I can look at this article.
Oh, it's one of those.
Yes, it is one of those. This is the Sierra history I was talking about before. Yeah. The strange tale of stagecoach driver Charlie Parkhurst. Dateline, Truckee, California. Western stagecoach companies were big business in the latter half of the 19th century. In addition to passengers and freight, stages hauled gold and silver bullion, as well as mining company payrolls. Stage robbery was a constant danger, and bandits employed many strategies to ambush a stagecoach. And thieves rarely met with much resistance from drivers, since they had passenger safety foremost in mind. The gang was usually after the Wells Fargo money box with its valuable contents. Now Wells Fargo robs you. Just kidding, Wells Fargo. Don't sue me. Passengers were seldom hurt, but they were certainly relieved of their cash, watches, and jewelry. Before the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad over Donner Pass in 1868, the only transportation through the Sierra was by stage. Rugged teamsters held rein over six wild-eyed horses as they tore along the precipitous mountain trails. Stagecoaches were driven by skilled and fearless men who pushed themselves and their spirited horses to the limit. One of the most famous drivers was Charles Darkey Parkhurst. Name was Darkey, Kareem. Don't get offended.
I figured that was what they called him.
Who had come west from New England in 1852 seeking his fortune in the gold rush. He spent 15 years running stages, sometimes partnering with Hank Monk, a celebrated driver from Carson City. Over the years, Pankhurst's reputation as an expert whip grew. From 20 feet away, he could slice open the end of an envelope or cut a cigar out of a man's mouth. See, Parkhurst... It's either Parkhurst or Pankhurst. It's spelled two different ways in this article.
Oh, no.
Because proofreading, not that important. Chewed wads of tobacco and drank with the best of them and exuded supreme confidence behind the reins. His judgment was sound and pleasant manners won him many friends. On one afternoon, as Charlie drove down from the Carson Pass, the lead horses veered off the road and wrenching jolt threw him from the rig. He hung on to the reins as the horses dragged him along his stomach. Amazingly, Parkhurst managed to steer the frightened horses back onto the road and save his grateful passengers. He had no patience for crooks, though. During the 1850s, bands of surly highwaymen stalked the roads. The outlaws would level their shotguns at stage drivers and shout, "Throw down the gold box!" And Charlie Parkhurst had no patience for the crooks, despite their demands and threatening gestures. The most notorious road agent was named Sugarfoot. I know, it sounds dangerous.
The most
right?
notorious of them all.
Sugarfoot. Sugarfoot. It sounds
like Pinkberry.
Right, Sugarfoot and Pinkberry. They were the most dangerous ones. And Huggy Bear.
And Sugarfoot.
Sugarfoot, Huggy Bear, and Pinkberry.
Sugarfoot was in the Ohio Players.
That's true. When he and his gang accosted Charlie's stage, it was the last robbery the thief ever attempted. Charlie cracked his whip defiantly, and when the horses bolted, he turned around and fired his revolver at the crooks. Sugarfoot was later found dead with a fatal bullet wound in his stomach. In appreciation for the bravery, Wells Fargo presented Parkhurst with a large watch and chain made of solid gold. In 1865, Parkhurst grew tired of the demanding job of driving and opened his own stage station, later sold the business and retired to a ranch near Soquel, California. The years slipped by and Charlie died on December 29th, 1879, at the age of 67. Now, a few days later, the Sacramento Daily Bee published his obituary. It read, "On Sunday last, there died a person known as Charlie Parkhurst, age 67, who was well known to old residents as a stage driver. He was in his early days accounted one of the most expert manipulators of the reins who ever sat on a box of a coach. It was discovered when friendly hands were preparing him for his final rest that Charlie Parkhurst was unmistakably a well-developed woman." How's that for a surprise, Undertaker?
A well-developed woman.
Oh, my Undertaker. Sorry, I went into Paul Bearer mode. Once it was discovered Charlie was a woman, there were plenty of people to say they had always thought he wasn't like other men. Even though he wore leather gloves summer and winter, many noticed his hands were small and smooth. He slept in the stables with his beloved horses and was never known to have a girlfriend. Maybe he did. Charlie never volunteered clues to her past. Loose-fitting clothing hid the femininity, and after a horse kicked her, an eye patch over one eye helped conceal her face. She weighed 175 pounds, could handle herself in a fist fight, and drank whiskey like one of the boys. It turns out Charlie's real name was Charlotte Parkhurst. Abandoned as a child, she was raised in a New Hampshire orphanage and unloved and surrounded by poverty. Ran away when she was 15 and soon discovered that life in the working world was easier for men, so she decided to masquerade as one for the rest of her life. The rest is history. Well, almost. There's one last thing. On November 3rd, 1868, Charlotte Parkhurst cast her vote in the national election dressed as a man. It was not legal for women to vote then. She became the first woman to vote in the United States 52 years before Congress passed the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. So that's kind of a cool story.
It's a very interesting story. So many layers.
Yeah, now that's a movie I'd watch.
That's a fucking brilliant idea.
Make a movie, someone. Yeah, that and Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
Maybe meld them together somehow. I don't know how. Throw in some zombies.
Make a trilogy out of it.
Throw in some zombies, call it a day. We'll wait. So very, very cool stuff. But, all sorts of, who says we're not down with the ladies here?
Right.
On the Nate Darling Show, even though the one we have here left has her own fault, really. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Hold on here. I had to do that. All right. Let's wrap this bitch up.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
All right. It's time to go to the state of Maine, where a former stable turned barn boutique is a shopper's paradise.
Three years ago, we were on Goose Rocks Beach celebrating our 25th anniversary, and the idea of this being the next chapter of our life was kind of born. And it was owning a retail shop, but we had to have the perfect location. We'd seen this barn for a number of years, but I'd never had a chance to get inside to really take a look at it. When we moved to town in December of 2013, one of our first stops was to come over here and see what was going on. We looked in the windows and the barn was empty. So we knew that the retail space was most likely available. We had our realtor contact the owner, who we met out here on a very cold January day.
Oh, good for you!
The owner of the barn has been great with us and taking care of us. We have upstairs is all our storage space, which is very convenient.
It's a barn.
The great history of the barn and the people are just drawn to the barn initially, but what's been so rewarding in the 2 months that we've been open is that people come in and just love what we've done to it, that we've kept it in the spirit that it deserves, and we feel like we're the caretakers of the next generation of this barn.
You know what I love? The funky porn music that they put behind this. That's right.
I don't know what just happened.
That's Small Town News, baby. Small Town News just happened. You weren't ready for it.
I wasn't ready at all. You took it to the next level. You weren't reading articles, man. You got that. Oh, that was something else.
Yeah, the podcast is growing and going places. We got some shit happening here.
No doubt.
And the way we do it, you support the show by shopping Amazon through shopping Amazon from the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It's not as easy to say as you think.
I was going to say, when you're shopping Prime Wednesday.
Yeah, well, Prime Wednesday 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Hope you get some deals, because they're good for you. And if you did...
Oh, good for you!
That's right, because...
You're a nice guy! You're a nice guy!
Mm-hmm. And you deserve it. You absolutely deserve it. You dirty...
What retarded amateur idiots.
Hold on.
Inappropriate comment.
Okay. Got a lot of stuff going on here. I'm very sorry. I'm just going to get some music to close this thing out with. Hold on. All right, so here's...
What do you got?
This is terrible. I'm gonna end the show with something terrible. Although you might like it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a song from the 70s by a man... named Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, I love Fogelberg, I do.
Who doesn't? I don't know why this is in my iTunes, but it is.
I don't even know what the instrument is going on back there.
Maybe a steel guitar? I don't know. Steel guitar? It's. I don't know. Anyway, The show is over, so feel free to turn this shit off. Go ahead and turn this shit off anytime you like. Skip ahead to the next thing in your iPod, your iPhone.
Or you can wait and listen to the whole song, and we'll have a special surprise at the end of the track.
Nope, there won't be.
No?
Feel free to just turn it off.
Oh. I thought we'd punk them and get them to listen to the whole thing and then tell them.
No. They've already listened to the whole show. You've already had the meaty goodness that is the show.
If you endure the song, we'll tell you where you can find naked pictures of your mom.
Yeah, this is Dan Fogelberg. The song is called Run for the Roses. It is a serious steaming pile of crap.
That sounds dangerous because there's thorny bushes you're running towards.
Yeah, it's...
And you will surely fall into...
Let's listen to this for a second. Hold on, Sam. Oh, let's kick it in now.
It's all about the alliteration. That's the whole point.
As fast as you can.
I'm a running Jenny.
It's a bad you can't protect your cat.
Right?
I told this is... Look, why are you still listening to this? This is terrible.
I commend you.
There's still 2 minutes left in this song, by the way.
If you make it through, that's 5 gold stars for you.
You can go, you know what I did? I listened to a podcast. They ended it with a fucking shitty Dan Fogelberg song. And they'll go, same old Lang Syne. And you go, no, Run for the Roses.
Tell you what, here's an idea.
Yes.
Listener, take your phone... And your friend's phone. You're going to need 2 phones. One to record video and the other to play the song. And just sneak up on people and start singing at karaoke to them and see how they get a capture of the face and then email it.
Yeah, you can send us emails at natedarlingshow@gmail.com if you want.
We'll play that shit. I think it'd be golden.
By the way, it's not worth losing friendships over. Let me just say that. Like, you've worked long and hard to cultivate friendships. So do not do this. Here's
the
worst part.
Wipe it away in one fell swoop.
There are going to be people listening to this who go, you know, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
You know, there's that moment right there halfway through the chorus where my heart says, this is good. And then he goes somewhere else and I'm like, make it stop.
Yeah. And then you get your period and... I mean, this is just terrible. We're almost through. There's like 45 seconds left. So... We might as well hang in. I think it's the least we can do for the listeners.
Yeah. Oh, check that out.
Oh, yeah. We got a little...
It's a synth. It's a harmonica with reverb. Am I right?
Is it or just a bad violin?
I'm not sure.
Is it a harmonica
anymore.
Or a bad violin?
Send in your answers, and if and if you guess right, we'll send you a sticker.
This is so bad. I'm sorry. But again, I told you the show was over, and you're still if you're still listening, it's on you. But thank you for listening all the way to the end of the show, and we leave you with this.
Goodbye.